Don't you just love to see God work through people? Seriously? It's amazing to see how God causes people to fall in love with his work and to be truly energized by the work of the Lord and to really come to understand God more completely as we work together in ministry. I remember years ago a friend saying to me, saying to someone who was new to our church, "Now, you're not just planning on sitting there and warming a seat, are you?" And the point was that really, you won't really get to know the Lord unless you, as you know him, you serve him very, very completely. I'm always thrilled to hear people's stories as to how they come to Christ. I always am. And it's also neat to see how people are energized to serve him in so many different ways. Over the summer, we got to know here at Calvary and Whittier Christian School, during the months when the school is not in session, we've got to get a lot of stuff done around here. And we were painting walls and removing cupboards and furniture and having new items put in. And we needed some people who were skilled at removing wallpaper and painting and doing all sorts of renovation work. And through the people on our staff, we got to meet Brian and Barbara. And Brian and Barbara live in San Clemente. And in the midst of rush hour traffic, every day they would drive from San Clemente to Calvary Baptist and Whittier Christian Schools. And they did such an amazing job, we decided that after talking with them for a while, that it would be a wonderful thing to have them do the regular maintenance around here. They've renovated lots and lots of apartments and houses and have been in construction work. And they've been married about, I think, 6 years and are growing like weeds in their relationship to Christ. It's just a powerful story. And about a week ago, I was having lunch with them, and just to listen to the story about how they absolutely love to serve Christ. They race away from here after working long hours. They race back to San Clemente, where they're involved in their own church's ministry. They're involved in a discipleship study, one-on-one, a rigorous discipleship study. I mean rigorous. If any of you thought, well, boy, I think our growth groups would be a lot of work. Growth groups would be a piece of cake compared to the rigorous study. And Brian told me this last week, if I don't get my work done, and I've got to get it done right now during my break, if I don't get it done, oh boy, I hate to say what might happen to me. But loving every minute of growing in Christ and loving to serve Christ in their, not only here in this place in a very hands-on way, but in their own ministry and loving pouring their lives into people. I was thinking as we were singing about this second to the last song, we were singing about how I'll live to love you, I'll live to bring you praise. People who serve the Lord would say that their life's mission is to bring him praise. I hope that is truly, truly your story. Now we say up here, our theme and the cup that Israel wants you to have, to hold that thing and to think about the words that are on it, see the symbol of these two people, with the question, so what should I say? I want you to take out your notes, would you please? The notes are in your bulletin. If you haven't already, remove them to study. Take your own notes during the course of the message. I'd like you to have that out, have that in your hands. And I'd like us to read the words that are at the bottom of the cover page. Let us consider, would you join me in reading these words? Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Here's this couple. They're looking opposite directions. They're looking and they're thinking about the people in this church, the people in this ministry, the people they rub shoulders with, who know Christ and those who don't. Let us consider one another. Why? in order to stir each other up to love and good works. Over the last few weeks, we've been thinking about what can I do? What can I do to stir up the people in my life, my kids, my adult children, my grandchildren, the people in our school, the people in my community? What can I do to encourage the people around me to love God? To love God. What can I do to encourage them to love His Word? Last week, what can I do to encourage them to love His will? And last week we talked about two different aspects of the will of God. Now, some people, if they weren't taking pretty careful notes, or if because the message didn't get online for those folks who were not here last Sunday, the determined will of God and the desired will of God, the determined will, those things that happen, whether disease, the determined will, these are the things that happen. Some of these circumstances are way beyond our control, but can we love the determined will of God? And then can we love, what can we do to encourage others to love the desired will of God? Expressed in His Word, no matter what the circumstances are of life, how am I to respond? What does God tell me as to how I am to respond? This morning, what can I do to draw some other people, the people around me in, not just the slugs, sorry, not just those who are unemployed in the work of God, but what can I do to encourage you who are presently serving so very faithfully? I was on a trip last fall. I was on our historical study trip, and I got a text message from one of the people, one of the, I would say, choice servants in this church, who is really very much behind the scenes, just behind the scenes. And this person in this text message asked me a question that got me thinking, what it did for me, what that text message did for me, was this person so encouraged me to love God's work. Because I saw in what she was saying to me a passion for what she was doing. And that just reinvigorated my passion to say, God is doing things in our midst. And He's drawing people into this work. And what a wonderful, amazing thing that is. Well, we want to think this morning about what can we do to stimulate others to love and good works, and specifically, what can we do to encourage them to love God's work? God's work. We're going to put hopefully, what you'll do in just the next few minutes is that you'll put your involvement in encouraging other people under the microscope and ask yourself, what am I doing to bring people along with me, whether they're very involved or just maybe thinking about getting involved? What am I doing to bring them along with me and truly love the work of God? Now, in the midst of all of this, we can either be people that encourage people to love God's work, or we can actually be people that might discourage people from loving God's work. Let me just give you just one brief little idea of what we're talking about. Sometimes those who serve the Lord and serve faithfully might be worn out. They might be actually doing and doing and doing, and they feel so worn out doing it all that they might communicate to us in the midst of it, "Oh, I gotta do this again." If I got up here and said from the pulpit, "Man, if you guys only knew how busy I was. If you know all the grief that I take all week long. I know you think I only work for 25 minutes a week. But if you only knew, I've been just running my legs off." And, you know, I wish somebody else would join me in this, but I got to do it all. Wouldn't that encourage you all to just be, I can hardly wait. Where do I sign up? Now you'd, but what can I do in the midst of what I'm doing? What can you do in the midst of what you're doing to take somebody along with you to love his work? Well, the first thing is to realize, let's just realize this right at the outset. This is a, I hope you get this. This is a hugely profound point. God is always at work. He is always at work. I wonder, do you believe that? He is working all the time. He is doing some absolutely amazing things in the lives of people, and we can easily miss it. I saw a grandma sitting talking with her grandchildren, and she was showing them her prayer journal. And they were like working like crazy on their own prayer journals. You think, you know who brought the subject up? It was the children. It was the children that talked about, well, in children's church today, we talked about a prayer journal. We've got to write some prayers down. What do we do? Man, I thought, God is at work in these little lives. Do you believe it? God is always at work. Dr. Ortner went across this country. He and Terry, they drove their Suburban and took all of their stuff with them. And week after week on this trip, it was like, well, I thought Dean's going to be home pretty soon. And it was one thing after another. And God opened this door and that door, one invitation after another. When they started for the summer out, those things weren't even on the radar. And yet God was at work. Got an email message not long ago from a woman. And she said, I really want to get involved. She said, she started out with, I need work. She needs a job. I thought she was talking about financial employment. No, she said, I need to get involved here. What do I do? Oh, love to hear those things. God is always at work. He's at work in the lives of people, tugging on hearts. He's doing miraculous things. He's doing ordinary, what we would call ordinary things. But God is always, always at work. Reuben read the scripture this morning, and he read the scripture from John chapter 5. Jesus was questioned, why was it that he kept on doing miracles on the Sabbath? He was confronting the Pharisees with their absolute blindness to what the law was intended to do. And he was performing miracles, and they were as ticked off as you could be. And Jesus made this statement, as they are now plotting to kill him. He said, my Father is always at work. He's the one that gave us the Sabbath, by the way. My Father is always at work, and I too am working. And whatever I see the Father doing, that's what I do. I want to cooperate with him in the process. God was involved in creation. He was involved in the building of nations. He was involved in the building of nations, the rise of nations and the fall of nations. We come to an election every 4 years here. And both sides will always say, this is the most important election in our lifetime, maybe in the whole history of the country, maybe in the whole history of the world. Well, it's an important election, a really important election. But God causes nations to rise and he causes nations to fall. He allows and causes nations to rise that are even nations known for their vicious treatment of his own people. And God says, somehow or other, hard for you to understand, but I'm involved in all of this, the rise of nations and the collapse of nations. That's my work. And it's a very, very creative work. And it's a sovereign work. I'm involved in choosing people. And I'm involved working in leading people. His work includes correcting people and rebuking people and sending people and redeeming people. Jesus said, "My Father is always at work, and always very, very creatively at work." And then Jesus said, "And I too am working." In John chapter 4, verse 34, just write the note down if you want in your notes. John 4, 34, he said, "My food." This is when the disciples came back. They came back with lunch, and he'd been talking to this woman at the well, a Samaritan woman. And they said, Jesus said, "I'm not hungry." And they said, "Did somebody give him food?" And Jesus said, "My food is to do the work that of him who sent me and to finish the work." Jesus too was always punched in, always at work. He was involved doing miracles. He was involved teaching. He was involved in serving. He was involved in correcting people and forgiving people and rebuking them. His work included dying and being raised. And those people who follow Jesus, who follow him personally, and who follow him as a group of people, they're always at work as well. We are always at work because we realize God has given us life. He has given us life for here and now to live for him. And the work that we have to do involves following him and inviting others to follow him, to join us in that. Our work involves listening to him and teaching each other. Many times that I sit at a table with a friend named Roger, and Roger would invariably use up every napkin on the table as he would pull the napkin out in front of me and write all over the napkin. And though I was discipling him, he was also teaching me the things that God was teaching him. And he had a wonderful way of putting these things, these amazing truths, putting them in a visual that would help me understand the guy discipling him, understand even more. The work God has given us is a work involved in serving, sometimes serving behind the scenes, sometimes serving by listening and encouraging. The work he's given us to do involves reaching out to people who don't know him and sharing Christ with them. The work he's given us to do is always there in front of us. It's large things, and it's very, very small things, and everything in between. And all of it is very, very important. You'll see in your notes this statement: the work of God is what he does independent of us. And it is what he does in and through us. The work of God. Do you love it? Do you love the work of God? And are you encouraging the people around you to love it? It's what he does independent of us and in and through us. Jesus said, "You didn't choose me." In John chapter 15, verse 16, he said to his disciples, "You didn't choose me." I know he could have almost said this in brackets. I know one day they're going to come along with a song that says, "I have decided to follow Jesus." And he says, "No, you're wrong. You didn't decide to follow me. I chose you. I chose you. I chose you to go and bear fruit, and that your fruit will remain. I chose you not to get fat on everything you know about me and keep it to yourself. I chose you to go and bear fruit, and that the fruit of your relationship with me, the fruit of my word taking hold of your life and someone else's life, I've chose you to go and bear fruit, and that your fruit will remain." Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are his workmanship. This is after he talks about you're saved by grace and grace alone. But then in chapter 10 of Ephesians 2, it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do something that will last forever, to do good works. Jesus said that, we're the light of the world. We've been chosen to be salt and light in the world so that when people see what we do, they'll say, God did this. God did this. It was an amazing thing. Someone wrote in a prayer concern recently, this person that I love so much just saw a miracle in his life. God turned this person around in a profound and dramatic way. His life was totally, irrevocably out of control. And people prayed, and people spoke up. But just like that, God stepped in and did something that was totally beyond our control. And the purpose of God working is that he will be glorified in that person's life, in the lives of all those people that prayed, and all the people that will follow up with that person in the days ahead. There's all sorts of things, that, as I said at the beginning, that could get in the way of our encouraging people to join us in this work. One, it could be that very codependent attitude. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. An attitude which will keep somebody else from pitching in and helping out. Dads, did you ever do this? Dads or moms? Did you ever do this? Maybe you were at mom's, you were doing something in the kitchen, and you were doing your thing, and you were making something that was amazing and wonderful. And one of the children, boy or girl, said, "Can I help?" And you knew what would happen if they helped. I mean, there would be food everywhere. And what you do so well would become a disaster. And you said to them, "No, no, no, that's okay, I got it." Or a dad with a child, a son or a daughter, mowing the lawn, building something, painting something. "Dad, can I help?" "No, no, no, that's okay, I got it." Oh, can you imagine what he'd do if he got his hands on this? The codependent person who's just so good at serving Jesus, so good teaching, so good with the artwork, so good with the promotional stuff, so good in the kitchen, so good in terms of cleaning and bringing organization to stuff here throughout this ministry. And someone steps up and says, "Can I help?" "No, no, 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 I've got it. I've decided to follow Jesus. And nobody can do it like me. I think when I go, the world will have to just end without me." Well, we can blow it badly. If someone comes up and says, "Can I help?" If we don't say, "Let's talk about where we can go with this. Man, that sounds exciting." And then begin a very important process. We can blow it when people want to serve, or when people should be involved by being inflexible with what we do, inflexible in terms of the way we see the ministry. I remember a number of years ago here in this church when in an elders meeting, the minister of music many years ago when I first came here said to the elders, "Well, we're going to have drums in the service this week." And, you know, I think that we thought there was a little bit of an earthquake at that point in time as the elders, you know, actually we anticipated that, but the elders actually embraced it. But one said, at Calvary? He said, I remember the day when my son wanted to play a guitar. Wanted to bring a guitar into the service. And that was the end of his time at Calvary. The end of his time. He was so bruised by the inflexibility of a ministry that thought it was, you know, that was one of the devil's way of communicating and should not be involved in a church. There are other things that there are hazards along the way in terms of doing the Lord's work. Some of it's just things like the danger of being discouraged or neutralized in the process. I wonder how many times I've said this. I got into the ministry to work with people. I got to shepherd people, to be a pastor, a shepherd of people, to teach and to encourage and to be there alongside of them. And I just hate it when I got to be involved in church politics and power. I mean, I hate politics. I think someone said, really? But you do it so well. You see, there's politics everywhere. Politics, meetings. Money problems. I got into this to shepherd people. Why do these things have to get in the way and discourage? Apathy, anger, criticism. Beware the hazards of serving, and don't let them tear your spirit down and tear it apart. And you are responsible for what you do with it and how you dwell on it. And I'm responsible as well. Every one of us responsible for how we handle these hazards. I love the work of the Lord. I love the work of the Lord when I see amazing things happen. And sometimes some very just kind of ordinary things. Some little things, not earth-shaking. But it might be earth-shaking to somebody's world. One of our missionaries, Tom Ward, who works with Muslims in East London and in Pakistan and in many other parts of the world. Tom knows what it's like to risk his life and to risk the life of his family for the cause of Christ. And when I hear Tom's story, Tom, my brother, who was raised with my family, Tom, my brother in Christ, who's taught me much. When I hear Tom speak about something that's not out of the ordinary for him, to have a man come to his door specifically to kill him, and Tom knew it, and to invite this man into his home to share what could have been Tom's last meal, with his wife praying in the bedroom. You know, when I hear a story like that, I love Jesus all the more. And I love his work. You know, when the early church was persecuted, and when the church has been persecuted across time, rather than cause people to run from God's work, it's caused people to run to it. Those of you who are my age or older, do you remember how you felt when you saw in the morning newspaper or on television or in a magazine word of five young dads, missionaries, who were killed by the Alca Indians trying to reach them for Christ? I remember thinking to myself, who would risk his life knowing that your life could be taken in the jungle of some faraway place for people who didn't want you to come tell them about Jesus? I thought that. I didn't even know Jesus then, but I thought, why? But rather than cause people to run away, it caused thousands upon thousands of young people to give their lives to serving Christ wherever he would send them. And millions of people have come to Christ because of that commitment of those people at that time. I love hearing about how people serve Jesus and embrace his work, no matter the risk. Whether it's in a high school in Columbine, Colorado, who will stand up for Jesus with their life on the line, or a student who will just stand up for Jesus knowing that somebody in their school might laugh at them and call them a fool. I love God's work when I really love God's work when I see what happens here among God's people on Wednesday nights. I mean, just everything that goes on here is just an absolute thrill, from youth ministry to children's ministry, that which is going on at the kitchen. It's just so full of energy. And if you're not accustomed to being here, come on out on Wednesday night. Just come for the food alone, but come sit at a table and get to know somebody that you don't know already. It is amazing. And then you'll see people come here to serve in our Awana program. Our Awana program. A bunch of little overly energetic children. Man, it is amazing the people that come to do this week in and week out, and they still keep coming back for more. The people leading, I'm talking about. And one of the people that every week really inspires me is Jeremy Beal's dad. This man, who's not a part of our church, apart from on Wednesday nights, drives from Long Beach? Huntington Beach, every Wednesday night, to work in our Awana program. And I'm just like, where did that come from? I bet it's just only because he wants to come see his grandson. And it's probably part of it. But you know, it's when you see people who love God's work and don't run from it, they run to it. How exciting is that? It just doesn't get more exciting. I see the Women's Missionary Fellowship, who month after month come here and poke themselves with needles, you know. And they're not for diabetic reasons, not testing their blood, but they're putting together lap robes for people. And around as they do, they're sitting around a table, enjoying each other's presence. But it's not just the lap robes that they're making. These are women who know who our missionaries are and who pray. They are prayer warriors. You want to know prayer warriors? It's these women who pray for our missionaries month in and month out. Oh, there's so many ways to serve, folks. There's so many ways to work for Jesus. You know, who is it that got your attention and said to you, come on, come join us at WMF or Awana, or join us in the kitchen, or join us underneath a car as we're changing oil, or join us as, would you kind of help me teach this class? Would you meet with me? Because I'm going to meet with this man or this woman who wants to grow in Christ. Would you join me? Would you come with me as I go to the hospital to visit this person who doesn't know Jesus? What a powerful thing. This last week, when a man that a number of us have been praying for, who had decidedly turned away from Jesus and decided it would be too tough to follow him, when he gave his life to Christ this week. Man, people praying, people sharing Christ. Don't you just love the work of God as He changes lives? Because you see, my Father is always at work, and He is at work now as He was then. He is always at work. And oh, that I would share the words of Jesus, and oh, that you would share the words of Jesus. And I too am working. And I'll work as long as He gives me breath to share Christ, the reality of knowing Him, and the reality of serving Him with the people all around me. My Father and your Father is always at work. Let's always be employed, always be employed in the work of the Lord. Let's pray. As your heads are bowed, I want you to just to consider right now, what am I doing serving Jesus? Would you ask the Lord in the quietness of your own heart right now, Lord, how do you want me to serve you? If you're serving Him already, just continue to say, Lord, I'm available. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it with great, great joy. Would you just make yourself freshly available to work in the ministry here and wherever he takes you? Because wherever He takes you, it's going to be the best possible place you could be. What a trip it will be. Near and far. Whether it's in a place that feels awkward and you feel a little bit intimidated by the circumstances, you might feel even a little bit ill-equipped. Wherever He takes you, if you're available, you couldn't be in a better place. Would you make yourself available? And would you make yourself available right now to encourage the people around you, to take someone else with you on this journey of trusting Him and serving Him with all your heart? Father, we want to stay fresh in loving You and serving You, knowing You, even as we join You in what You're doing in our lives and in the lives of the people around us, our family, our friends, the children in this church, the young people, the people who are going through all sorts of transitions in their life. Father, we want to make ourselves available to You. Use us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.